Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You may have noticed that articulate 9-year-old boy speaking with Elizabeth Warren at CNN's LGBTQ town hall meeting last month.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. My question is...
All right, Jacob. Hold on.
What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me feel safer in schools? And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't have to worry about anything but my homework?
Oh, I like that question, Jacob.
Jacob's pride and his confidence lit up the place, but it wasn't always that way. You might remember we first spoke to his mom, Mimi LeMay, 4 years ago. So Jacob was 5, and she'd just written a blog, a letter to my son Jacob on his 5th birthday, detailing her family's struggle to understand that they had a son, not a daughter, and Jacob's struggle, starting before his 3rd birthday, to tell them that. Mimi was one of the first parents of transgender children to speak out, and there were those who couldn't believe a 3-year-old could even know what gender was. We'll post her letter at hereandnow.org. Read it and then brace yourself for Mimi LeMay's forthcoming book, What We Will Become, in which she braids Jacob's story with her own. Because while he was struggling to claim the boy he knew he was, she was plunged into memories of trying to be the girl she knew she could be, a girl suppressed by an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community that taught her a woman was not as important as the man she needed to marry. And Mimi LeMay joins us in our studios. Mimi, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin. It's wonderful to be back.
Boy, we had no idea about your storyline. We were following Jacob's. We say right off, you ask Jacob, there's a moment in the book where you ask him, should we tell people about this? And he was, yes. And you also, we presume, talked to his dad, your husband Joe, Jacob's sisters, about writing this book. But take us back to those who might say, this is impossible. How could anyone 1, 2, 3 years old know that there's something wrong with the body they're in? What were you seeing?
What we were seeing was a child who had been very happy up till a certain point, about 2.5 years old, and suddenly, almost as if the source of energy was being turned down for him, he started to become angry, almost to display some what we would call like OCD type behavior, very anxious, at the same time as he started to tell us, I am a boy.
So this is going on, but then let's do what your book does, alternate between Jacob's story and yours. A child of an ultra-Orthodox American Jewish mother, you and your brother live with her in an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic community. What does that mean?
Well, primarily it means that every aspect of life is dictated from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed. It also means that your clothing and your aspect and your demeanor as a woman in particular had to be modest.
Covered. Long sleeves, long skirts. Yeah.
Relationships between men and women or boys and girls who were not blood relatives, like brother and sister, were forbidden.
Very little of the outside world, newspapers, TV, anything like that. Your mother sneaks a little because she's a brilliant woman.
She got her PhD at BU, and she taught at Rockland Community College in Muncie, New York.
So she sneaks some intellectual things in, but mainly she builds a wall around you and your brother of what she thinks is protection. You are also showing signs of being so intelligent and wanting to succeed. So you're going to be the best Orthodox Jewish girl around. You get into a high-level school in London, Gateshead. And yet we feel your yearnings. You sneak away to go to the library. Now we cut back to Jacob, who in your storyline you still believe is your daughter, struggling to make you see that he's not. You know, your child mirroring some of your childhood.
In the actual story, the feeling of deja vu began to creep up on me when I started to think about the word transgender and that it might possibly apply to my child. I think before that, I was grasping at straws. I was thinking, oh, this is a middle child, wants to be different than his sisters, or possibly this is some kind of compulsive disorder.
And again, you're saying his now out of respect for Jacob.
Exactly. But the person at the time who I knew as a girl. And when I write the book, I use a pseudonym that Jacob and I picked together, which is M. And with his permission, in order to carry the reader along in real time, I do use the pronoun she until the moment of transition.
Right. Just before it does, though, it starts to get really serious with Jacob. Mm-hmm. You're worried something horrendous is going to happen. We flash back to your childhood. You're a teenager. Mm-hmm. You're betrothed to a young man you hardly know. He betrays you. You cut yourself. You harm yourself.
I was angry at myself because I think what happened over the years that I was in this community is that I began to believe that other people were right about the place that they thought women had in our society and what God designed for a woman to do, which is what I was told. So if these things felt wrong for me, if I wanted more from life, there had to be something wrong with me.
I mean, what insight that I think I'm hearing ultimately gives you
Absolutely.
Into what you thought was your daughter, trying so hard to be what everyone else expected of her at that point. And there's a moment that's just breathtaking where you're informed of the statistics about transgender children and how many kill themselves.
Well, it's at that moment that I realized how serious it was and went for help for the first time from an expert. All of a sudden, it's not so much, you know, can we get through to the next month without any trouble at school? What can I do to make my child happier today? It was, what can I do to keep my child alive? We did hear at the time, because the protocol had not shifted yet, that we could go through what was called watchful waiting, that we could kind of follow Jacob's lead. But at that point, I think Em had lost her courage in some sense. Like, she had gotten signals from us and from people at school that she was expected to be a girl. She was giving up. Yeah. She was closing down.
Yeah. When this hit you, you write, "Suddenly all my bright dreams for her hit a brick wall. There will be no high school dances, no first loves, no prom, no college graduation, no watching her walk down the aisle if she doesn't make it past this moment. The dreams of my motherhood have collapsed to a single intent, keeping my child alive. There's nothing else."
Absolutely.
When you all, with help, start to allow, I mean, there's a name-picking thing, and it's suddenly we have Jacob, a new school.
Yeah.
What did you see in him?
I saw a miracle unfolding. I saw a child whose soul, whose spirit, if you believe in these things, had been shriveling, come to life. He was open to the world in a new way. He was showing affection to us again. He was happy. He was singing. I heard him giggle for the first time without restraint. I got my child back. And I didn't know beforehand that that's what the result would be. I just hoped to make him a little happier.
Well, Mimi LeMay, you also got your faith back. Because after the pain of trying to be someone you weren't, you came back, went to school here, married a Catholic, nice guy named Joe.
Irish Catholic.
Yep. But then there's a moment in the book where you tell of remembering the story of Isaac, who had two sons. One of them, Jacob, has to disguise himself as his brother Esau, wearing Esau's animal skins, in order to get his blind father's blessings, in order to be loved. You write, "In that moment, you realized you were as blind as Isaac. You couldn't see your own son behind his metaphorical animal skins."
Yeah.
And you're just, oh, wait a minute. If you'd stayed in that faith, God actually directed you away from the faith because your own son, Jacob, hidden in skins and an Orthodox faith, would never have survived.
Yes, exactly. And I think that moment to me broke open something that I'd been, you know, I had buried for years. When I discovered that my child might be transgender, it almost felt like God was taking my child. In hindsight, God was giving me the most beautiful gift, which is a child who is genuinely authentic and has taught me what it means to live an authentic life. But realizing that if you flip everything over, he couldn't have survived in the community of my childhood made me appreciate that I had to leave and that perhaps I was meant to leave and that this leaving was blessed too.
What do you tell other people who may be hanging on our every word?
So the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics have all come out to say, support your child. Support them from the beginning. They will tell you what they need. It's different than a stage. It's different than a preference. It's when they identify the deepest part of themselves, the part that they show to the world identifies as something different than their sex assigned at birth. it is stifling that that can be very dangerous.
You're also here to tell them through this book it won't be easy because you had to grieve, and it's heartbreaking, the little girl you thought you had.
Yes, there was a period of grief, and it's important, especially with young children, to let them know that you may be adjusting, but you aren't sad because they became who they truly are and are now actualizing their potential, but that you have some attachment to some old memories that might be difficult to let go.
And you and your mom have made up.
She loves her grandson and is actually doing a fabulous job of adjusting, given that she's still very faithful. And one of the messages of my book is that you don't need to choose between faith and acceptance. We just have to ask ourselves, are the things that we're taking out of our faith, do they match the humanity that we are seeing in front of us when we look at a trans person, when we look at a non-binary person or a gay and lesbian person? You can believe in God. You can be a person of faith and love every person who comes before you.
That's Mimi LeMay. Her book is What We Will Become, A Mother, A Son, and A Journey of Transformation for Both. Mimi, just terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.